money. Huge amounts of it blow into Juneau every January. There's the $9,000 reception that the Alaska Municipal League throws at the Baranoff Hotel. The $3,000 that Holland America spent flying in a former legislator to lobby on their behalf. The $2,000 that the Resource Development Council spent on booze and swag at an event celebrating women in energy. And these numbers don't even include the lobbying contracts themselves. All told, nearly 400 businesses, professional associations, and municipalities spent over $7 million lobbying the state legislature this session, according to reports collected by the Alaska Public Offices Commission. In just 90 days, lobbyists earned twice what all of Alaska's legislators get paid over the course of a full year.
It does seem rather high.
That's Peter Quist. He's the research director of the National Institute of Money and State Politics, which studies just what its name suggests. Because disclosure laws vary so much across the country, his group has only been able to get solid lobbying data from a handful of states. And when we run through a comparison of Alaska to the states he does have on file, the best match he has is Wisconsin.
I'm not sure exactly how the populations compare between Alaska and Wisconsin, but I would imagine that Wisconsin is substantially higher.
About 10 times higher. Their state budget is a lot bigger, too. But by the time the year wraps up, registered lobbyists in both places will probably earn about $15 million. So why is Alaska in the lobbying major leagues with a much more populated state? Quist says it might have something to do with Alaska's resource-based economy.
There are obviously some very vested interests there.
The oil and gas industry put more money toward lobbying this session than any other, spending over $1 million. With oil taxes being the biggest issue of the legislative session, their fleet of lobbyists were regulars in the Capitol as legislation lowering those taxes made its way from committee rooms to the governor's desk. ConocoPhillips had a team of four on contract, and BP had a full-time office in Juneau for its staff. None of the big three North Slope producers said okay to a taped interview about their lobbying efforts. But Kara Moriarty lobbies for the Alaska Oil and Gas Association, or AOGA, and she offered to give me her take.
It's no secret and should be no surprise that the oil and gas industry have expenses in Juneau that qualify as lobbying.
Moriarty says it would be strange if the oil industry didn't have a presence. You've got companies from Anheuser-Busch to Xerox all there, along with school districts, unions, hospitals, and municipalities. Oil dwarfs all of those groups in terms of its effect on Alaska's economy.
When we pay, you know, $6, $7, $8 billion with a B in tax revenue, and our lobbying expenses are, you know, $1 to $2 million or whatever it was this past session, you know, it's a very minute part of the business that we do in Alaska.
Senator Hollis French voted against the oil tax cut and has campaigned for its repeal. But the Anchorage Democrat actually agrees with Moriarty's take on why the oil industry has an outsized influence in Juneau.
They're a huge employer, and so it's almost, you know, sort of, it makes sense that they're going to be a powerful force in the legislature.
And they wield that power in a pretty complex way. They spend their lobbying money on a mix of education and persuasion. They testify before committees, they meet with legislators, they put on receptions and host catered presentations called Lunch and Learns that are popular with legislative staff looking to get free food. They also fly lawmakers to the North Slope to check out their operations. In December, Conoco spent nearly $20,000 to send a dozen legislators up there, according to APOC filings. French says he's been on one of those trips, and that they're sort of a necessary evil if you're going to learn about how the oil industry operates.
There's no way to visit them and to see them without being a guest of the oil industry. Now, that being said, you know, just because you've taken a field trip to the North Slope shouldn't necessarily mean that you're in the bag for the industry.
While oil companies may spend $1 million or more each year on government relations, there isn't an equivalent force in opposition to them. Based on APOC reports and interviews with legislators, there wasn't a single registered lobbyist who was paid to push against legislation to lower taxes on oil companies. The closest you can get to that is David Gottstein, who helped found the advocacy organization Backbone. He traveled to Juneau this session in an effort to defeat the bill. He says at most, his group spent a few $1,000s on lobbying legislators in Juneau. As far as what he thinks of how much the oil companies spend, he actually agrees that when you look at their overall budget, the industry isn't spending very much on lobbying, even if it seems like a lot in comparison to other groups. Gottstein characterizes it as an investment.
Why would they ever spend billions of dollars to enhance oil recovery, to make billions of dollars, if they can accomplish the same per-share profit result by literally spending one-thousandth of that, millions instead of billions, by influencing and overwhelming our public policy debate?
So is this the best system we've got? Kathy Keeley works for the Sunlight Foundation, an open government group in Washington, D.C., and she says that lobbying can distort policy.
We're seeing just an enormous disparity on the side of corporate interests as opposed to consumer interests.
But Keeley says there are other ways people in groups without much money can have their voices heard. They just need to know what conversations are already happening. That means tracking government. All the transparency in the world is not going to do a thing if nobody's keeping an eye on it. In Juneau, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez.
New car, caviar.